Dun, 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 dun. It's What a Wacky Week, the podcast.
Episode 89, Doug Baldwin.
Well, hello again, Waxters, and welcome to the Wacky Week podcast. My name is Tim Hunter. We're going to go for a holiday salad again this week. Heavy on the Como radio side of my career. Oh, we've got some Murdoch Hunter and Alice Madness we'll toss in, but we're going to emphasize the Como part. We've got several readings for you, as we called them, from Larry Nelson. From 1980 to 1984, I was fortunate enough to be Larry's producer, and I sure packed a lot of great radio memories in those short 4.5 years. We're going to start things off, though, with a peppy version of a holiday classic from local legend Stan Borison. In my post-Como days, I stayed in touch with Stan. We even got him to take part in a Murdoch Hunter and Alice promotion, The World's Shortest Christmas Parade. One year, KLSY offered to deck your halls, do all the decorating around your house. So the Boddy family in Bothell won. We got some Bothell High School band members to help us march for an entire block before we started decorating their house. And to get things underway, Stan Borison fired up his accordion.
No, I want to dedicate this to the Boddy family, and congratulations. Have a holly jolly Christmas, that's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and as you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Ho, ho, the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you, kiss them once for me. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly jolly Christmas this year. La, 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 la. Hey!
Tim Hunter's Wacky Week Podcast.
I am the Christmas spirit. I enter the home of poverty. I cause pale-faced children to open their eyes wide in pleased wonder. I cause the miser's clutched hand to relax and paint a bright spot on his soul. I cause the aged to renew their youth to laugh in the old, glad, once way. I keep romance alive in the heart of childhood and brighten sleep with dreams of woven magic. I cause eager feet to climb dark stairways with filled baskets, leaving behind hearts amazed at the goodness of the world. I enter dark prison cells, reminding scared manhood of what might have been, and yet point the way toward good days yet to be. I come softly into the still, white home of pain, and lips that are too weak to speak tremble in silent, eloquent gratitude. In a thousand ways, I cause the weary world to look up into the face of God, and for just a moment, forget the things that are small, forget the things that are wretched, for I am the Christmas spirit.
Spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight,
Murdoch and Hunter!
To all, and to all a good night! Good for you!
You're listening to Tim Hunter's What a Wacky Week, the podcast. What a Wacky Week. Oh, what a Wacky Week.
Getting harder and harder every year to find Susie the perfect Christmas gift. I mean, the right gift for her. Did I have an interesting, that's not the word, a fascinating, a memorable experience yesterday when I went out to find her something. I came across this little shop, and there was a sign that said, We have everything. I should... Excuse me, sir. I'm trying to find something a little different for my wife this year. Your sign says that you have everything in here.
Looking for something different for your wife, huh? Is she getting tired of you?
Oh, no, that's... You're not funny.
I thought
Please.
That was a clever...
I'm looking clever for an remark. Unusual Christmas gift. The time is growing short.
Well, sir, you've come to the right place. Now, we have all kinds of goodies for you to choose from. Something different,
like,
you
like,
say?
How
about a pair of denim contact lenses?
No, her eyes are fine.
And you're her husband?
Hey, listen, I don't need this kind of... Out of my face.
I was only kidding.
Okay.
Here you go. Look
One
at this.
Last chance.
A remote control paperweight.
No.
I can tell. How about this box of reversible Band-Aids?
That's dumb.
Or this solid-state sponge?
You are a freak. You
Thermal
don't...
earring.
No! I'm going to just keep shopping. I'll see you later.
Hold it. You forced me to get out our ultimate gift.
Your
now, here, look at
ultimate?
This. Look at this. Let me... There we are. Look.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Isn't that nifty?
What is that, a miniature shopping cart?
Yes, it holds exactly one grocery bag full of food. So that way you'll never go over $100 when she goes to the store.
I'll take it. I'll take it with me now. Don't wrap it. I'll take it right now.
You're listening to Tim Hunter's What a Wacky Week podcast. Some episodes are slow and some are fast. Either way, it's Tim Hunter's What a Wacky Week podcast.
This year, give the gift of music. Yes, music. At the Murdoch and Hunter Fine Piano School, you can learn to play like this in just 60 short lessons. And if you act now, we'll even throw in this beautiful pair of Spanish cork earplugs. Ignore the winery stamp on the sign.
No, I'd love to stay. I really gotta go.
This year, when your holiday guests come over, make it a Christmas to remember.
I gotta run home to Montana real quick.
Sign up today at the Murdoch and Hunter Fine Piano School and Theater Usher College, where we truly believe continuing education are a must.
It was December, and the snow fell softly around the runners of the big black sled moving rapidly through the streets of the city. Wind whipped around the hunched figures in the sled as the two men rode along. The two men were Dr. Clement Moore and his old Dutch handyman, Peter. And Moore was tired. I mean, he was pooped. He'd been all over mid-Manhattan since early that afternoon, delivering Christmas presents to neighbors and presents to friends. And daylight was gone now, and Dr. Moore was anxious to be home. But he was a little uneasy about his arrival home, too, because Mrs. Moore, it seems, had planned a Christmas party for that evening, and Moore had rashly promised his three children that he would entertain at the party with a little poem for the holiday. Well, Moore was sorry he made that promise. Christmas poems were not really in his line. You see, Dr. Moore was a scholar, a professor of Oriental languages in the General Theological Seminary of New York City. Yes, scholarship was more to his taste. As for Christmas poems, he would just have to disappoint them. Moore looked at Peter, seated beside him in the sleigh. Peter had just let out a great sneeze, and his broad face and round body shook with effort. Peter was using an immense handkerchief to blanket his nose, which had turned cherry red from the cold. His soft beard, white with snow, bobbed as he said, "Not too long now, sir. Less than an hour, and we'll have you home." Then Peter gestured toward the sky, and he added, "A cold night, yes, but a fine night it is." Well, Dr. Moore looked up, and Peter was right. A full moon was out, bathing the trees and the road in light. It was gorgeous. How could I put it, thought Moore. Perhaps the moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday objects below. Not bad, he thought. Part of a poem, anyway. And with a kind of grumpy satisfaction, Moore filed it away in his memory. He watched as Peter whistled and shouted to his horse. The sleigh flew swiftly over the winter snow, but Moore thought, hardly fast enough. Faster, we must go faster. If only they could fly through the air, pulled by some strange creatures of winter. Reindeer, for example, would be wonderful. Maybe four, no, eight strong reindeer. Then, thought Moore, Peter would spring to his sleigh, to his team, give a whistle, and away they would fly like, let's see, how about like the down of a thistle? Really a bad dream, particularly since his sleigh seemed not to be going faster, but slower. What's wrong, Peter? Moore said. Why are you stopping? Well, Peter jumped off the sled and called back. It's nothing, sir. Only a moment. Part of the harness has come loose from the single tree. Moore watched as the old servant worked the strap back on the swinging bar, and as Peter crouched in the moonlight, the snow clinging to his beard, Moore had an inspiration. It seemed that Santa Claus was right there before him. In old Peter's face and figure, Moore sensed all of the goodness and warmth of Christmas in one human being. And so, working with Peter as his principal character, Moore labored over his poem all the way home. And when he reached his house, he went into the study and he put it all down in pen and ink. It was really nothing, just a poem, but Moore was certain the children would really enjoy it that evening. And he was right. As he read his simple poem that night, the eyes of each child shone like the lights of the nearby Christmas tree. But what Clement Clark Moore didn't know that night, 157 years ago, was that his simple poem would be destined for children yet unborn. And children today yet unborn. Children who will always listen with wide-eyed rapture whenever the opening lines of Clement Moore's poem are spoken. It was the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
Hey, I gotta tell you, some great memories from holidays gone by. Hey, and if you don't know, I do blog my brains out once a week. This week, I'm sharing some fun Christmas memories if you'd like to check it out. Easy to remember name. What a stupid name for a website. .com. That'll get you there. Okay, that's going to do it. Tim Hunter saying thanks again for stopping by. Really appreciate it. Hope to see you back here again next week for one more holiday edition. But until then, I'd like to ask you this one simple favor. Laugh a little, would you?